very appreciative of your presence this morning, wherever you're from. We have folks with us from, I've seen from Mississippi and Indiana and Murfreesboro. We're glad you're here. Whether you're coming from a great distance or you've come from a short distance from our own community, we welcome you. Thank you for taking the time to worship with us this morning. And when services are over, and it won't be very long, we'd enjoy having a chance to converse with you and make friends and talk if we haven't had the chance to do that already. Open your Bibles, if you will, this morning to Daniel chapter 1. To the very first chapter of Daniel. I want to read with you a few verses in the opening chapter of the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It's a little historical, but that's good. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Asphanez, the chief of the officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and the nobles, youths, in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated for 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. To Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. We'll stop right there. One of the great American myths is that as a group of people, as Americans, that we are a nation of rugged individualists. Well, it's not true. We do not in our society foster a culture of individualists, but sometimes we foster more a culture of wimpy conformists. In other words, we go to great lengths to keep from being different from anybody else. One of our greatest fears is that in some way we're going to be ostracized or rejected or ridiculed or laughed at. And so as a result, when facing difficult decisions, sometimes we cave and we give in and we just follow the crowd. Why? Because it's easier that way. Sometimes we talk about peer pressure, and that is a very real thing. Peer pressure is an awesome force that pulls at especially the young. And what we need more than anything else are young people who have the inner strength to be different and to be leaders. And you know what? They're around. And they've always been around. I sat down this week and I thought, let me just make a top 10 off the top of my head list. When I flip through the scriptures, as I read 10 people who were leaders, young people who were leaders, you know, it wasn't hard to do. There's the Genesis Joseph, who maintained sexual purity in the face of tremendous temptation. There was David, who was chosen as a young shepherd, and God took him out of the sheepfolds to begin to shepherd people because God knew his heart. One of my favorites is Josiah, teen king, who had a heart for God. And it says of Josiah, he did right in the sight of the Lord. It can be done. Jeremiah was called as a young prophet, and Jeremiah protested, and he said, "Lord, I am but a youth." And God's message to Jeremiah was, "You're the one person I'm looking for." And then the three we just read a while ago, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By the way, there's three of those guys, but it's hard to just, you can't talk about one. And they refused to bow before the image of an ungodly king. Or the story of Esther. Here was a young Jewish orphan who became queen of her people and saved them from annihilation. Or you come into the New Testament, and there's Mary, a young mom who found amazing favor with God. Or there's the New Testament, Joseph, a young man who stepped into a step-parenting role and adopted a little boy as his own, raised up around the carpentry shop in the little village of Nazareth. Or Timothy, a young man raised in a pagan culture by a mother and a grandmother who refused to give up. Or John Mark, who as a young person made a mistake, but he learned and he moved on and was one of the four men chosen to write the biography of the life of Jesus. Here were young people, ladies and gentlemen, who had the strength to be different. And those young people are still around. The problem is, it's the troubled kids who get all the press. It's the troubled kids who get all of the energy. Maybe the press ought to come here. Some of the best young people I've ever been associated with are right here among us. And I think sometimes we need to take a moment and let them know how much they are appreciated and how much that we care about them and how much they encourage us. So I'll tell you what we're going to do this morning. In light of school beginning this past week and our kids returning to the classroom, whether it be the younger kids or the middle-age school young people or the high school or some going off to college, I want to take a moment of your time and just put the spotlight on one young person who had the strength to be different in the face of tremendous pressure to conform and be like everybody else. And his name was Daniel. Daniel. I know this is going to come as a shock to you. I have 3 points to make about Daniel as a young leader. If you have your bulletin on the back page is the outline of our morning study. And I want you to write this down. The first thing that I learned about Daniel as a young person, that all young people must have character. Character. Daniel had character. And you see that in the very first chapter. As a young man, perhaps even a teenager, Daniel is taken from his home, along with others, taken to Babylon to be educated and to serve in the courts of the most powerful man on the face of the earth. Now, here is an obvious situation that's going to present this young man with a host of temptations, the least of which have to do with the Jewish dietary regulations required in the law of Moses. But I want you to think about something. Here is a young man who is away from home. He is separated from his parental influence. He is in a place where he can pretty much do whatever he wants to do, and nobody's going to know. Kind of like when you go to school. But I'll tell you something you learn about Daniel. Daniel was smart enough to know that somebody would know. And that's God. And as a young man, he had already made a life commitment to God. And that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. Look in verse 8. But Daniel had made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank, so that he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. That's interesting. And I tell you what made that decision easier for Daniel was that Daniel had already made the decision. The literal rendering of that is that Daniel had set his heart. He had already made that decision. Daniel wasn't presented with a very difficult situation and with a temptation and then suddenly threw up his hands and said, "Oh no, what am I going to do?" As a godly young man, he had already decided what he was going to do. He had already made that determination. And that's what you have to do. You cannot wait until you are in the middle of a tough situation, a peer pressure situation, and then try to stand. Why? It's too late. The odds are not in your favor at that point in time, because our emotions at that point in time tend to overtake our reason. So what you need to do as a young person is put the odds back in your favor. And you put the odds back in your favor by making those kinds of decisions in advance. You want to get plain? We can get plain. The time to decide what you're going to do when it comes to fooling around sexually is before you get into an emotional situation that you cannot handle. The time to decide what you're going to do about drinking is before you get out with your friends and someone dares you. Or the time to make a decision about drugs is before somebody begins to tell you how wonderful they are. The time to make a decision about dress is before you have friends who strut around in their little short shorts and tempting you to dress like we do. The time to make a decision about lying to your parents or cheating in school or missing an assembly is before you get put in a position that you don't want to be in. But then again, the same principle works in everything. It works when it comes to who you're going to date and who you're going to marry and what you're going to tolerate in a job situation. If you wait until it's too late, it's just too late. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 27, "Do not give the devil an opportunity." And you won't if you make those kind of decisions in advance. But I want you to look at verse 9. God honored Daniel's character. Daniel 1 and verse 9. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. Who did that? God did that. God honored his character, and he'll honor yours too. Somebody said character is what you are when nobody's looking. That's true. Do you have that kind of character? Sometimes young people get upset when their parents don't trust them. So let me just give you a news flash. Trust is not an automatic virtue. Trust is something you have to earn. And the only way for you to earn trust is to make deposits into the bank of trust. You can't withdraw privileges from the trust bank if you haven't made enough deposits to cover the withdrawal. It's simple economics. You say, how do I make deposits in the bank of trust? Well, for one thing, you do what you say you're going to do. You be where you say you're going to be. You obey your parents. You respect your teachers. You make good decisions. And what happens as time progresses is you build up the deposits of trust. And I'll tell you something about Daniel. He earned trust. He earned trust in the king. He earned trust in his peers. He earned, most importantly, trust in God. So when I think about Daniel, I think about a young person who had character. Secondly, I think about a young person who had courage. Courage. I want you to take your Bible and just flip about three pages over to chapter 5. Remember the story of the handwriting on the wall? I remember as a young person, I would hear that phrase repeated to me in this particular context. Son, if you don't study for that test, the handwriting is on the wall. That was not always a pleasant thing. And we use that phrase a lot, and here is where it originated. Well, let me just paint the picture for you. The king throws a big party. Well, let's just read chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Belshazzar the king, Nebuchadnezzar's son, had a great feast for 1,000. This is a huge party. 1,000 of his nobles, and he was drinking wine in the presence of the 1,000. And Belshazzar tasted the wine. He gave orders to bring the gold and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, wives, concubines might drink from them. And they brought the gold vessels that had been taken out of the temple, and the king and his nobles and wives and concubines drank from them. Verse 4, they drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Let me just say that wasn't bright. That wasn't one of his great ideas. Verse 5, suddenly the fingers of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand and did the writing. In verse 6, the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his joints went slack, and his knees began knocking together. You say there's no humor in the Bible? This guy has got 1,000 people, and he's got them there to impress all of these people as to how great and powerful and wealthy he is. And so the one moment he's beating his chest, and the next moment his knees are knocking together. And everybody watched as that hand wrote on the wall, and nobody knew what it said. Nobody could interpret it. It was in a different language. Until the first lady showed up and said, "You know, I think I remember somebody who might be able to interpret those words." I'm not making that up. That's in verse 10. The queen entered the banquet. And verse 11, she says, "There's a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods." And she goes on to praise this Daniel. And so at the end of verse 12, "Let Daniel be summoned and he will declare the interpretation." Isn't that interesting? What does that say? That says you be a person of integrity and character and courage, and somewhere, someplace, somebody's going to notice. Long story short, Daniel came, interpreted, took a lot of courage because the interpretation was not good news for this king. Skip down to verse 23. "You have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you. You and your nobles, wives, concubines have been drinking wine from them, and you've been praising the gods of silver and gold and bronze and iron, wood and stone, which you do not see, hear, or understand. But the God in whose hand are your life breath, all your ways," he says, "you have not glorified." He said, you're praising all of these idols who are lifeless. In verse 30, it simply says, "That night Belshazzar the Chaldean king was slain." That didn't take very long. It took a lot of courage for Daniel to face that king and tell him what those words meant. Here was a young man of courage. Do you have courage? I think some of you do. I think we have young people among us who have the same courage that he had. And I would implore you today to keep leading, to keep setting high standards, to keep making good decisions. It's always easier to compromise than it is to have courage. Listen to the words that were read to us moments ago in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. "Let no one look down on your youth, but rather in speech and love and purity and conduct, show yourself an example of someone who believes." That's what Daniel did. He was a man of character. He was a man of courage. And third, he was a young man of conscience. Flip the next page in your Bible to chapter 6. He was a young man of conscience. When you come to chapter 6, Daniel, by this point in time, has been greatly trusted. He is successful. He's promoted. And of all things, some of his co-workers were jealous. You see, just because you have character and courage and a conscience, that's going to win you some friends, but it's also going to make you some enemies. Because not everybody's going to appreciate that. When you have a job as a young person, when you get your first job and you show up on time, in fact, you show up early and you work hard and you're not lazy and you go the extra mile, that's not exactly always going to win you the popular vote with some of your peers. In fact, in verse 3 of Daniel 6, this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. And then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. Sometimes politics don't change very much. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was found in him. Look at that. It highlights three amazing characteristics of this young man. He had a great attitude. He had an extraordinary spirit, the Bible says. He was faithful in his work. They could find no ground of accusation against him. Third, he was a young man of personal integrity. No corruption found in him. Although by this point in time, he's older. But I don't think these characteristics just happened. And so they tailed him and they spied on him and they looked through his files. They're trying to dig up some speck of dirt on him. And they couldn't find anything. And the only thing they could find on Daniel was about his faith. Because they knew Daniel well enough to know that his faith wasn't for sale. And so they made a dumb law that you could pray to no one except the king, because they knew that Daniel would violate that. And he did, verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house, went up onto his roof. His windows were open toward Jerusalem, and he knelt on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before God, as he had been doing previously. He didn't change anything. What that says is Daniel had a conscience that was not for sale. It wasn't for sale. I've heard people say, everyone has a price. Well, Daniel didn't. And he refused to violate his conscience for anyone at any price. And if you want to be a leader as a young person, that's exactly what you have to do. You have to be Daniel-like. You have to be a person of character and a person of courage and a person who has a conscience, and your conscience is not for sale to anyone for any price. What does it mean to be a leader? What does that mean to be a leader? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Being a leader means you stop making all of those excuses. You stop that. Sometimes you hear young people say, yeah, I know I shouldn't have done that, but, and then suddenly there's all these excuses. Have the courage, have the maturity to stand on your own two feet and take responsibility. Quit blaming everybody else. Quit blaming everything else. And take the ownership of your life. Or somebody says, well, it was just a moment of weakness. Let me tell you, it only takes one moment. Because it's the moments that will define who you are. It's the moments who will define that will define your life. It's what you do in the moment that will be the moments you will live with for the rest of your life. Your whole life depends on the moments. So be a leader. Be a Daniel. Be a young person of character and courage and conscience. May I ask you to do something this week? May you take a few moments of your time and remember these young people who go to school and who often are faced with certain situations and temptations that maybe those of us who are a little older, maybe we've forgotten. And it doesn't really matter. whether a young person is homeschooled in the public school system, in the private school system, it really doesn't matter. The temptations are always going to be there. And these kids are always going to have to face certain things and make certain decisions. And it's not easy. And let's not forget how hard it is. Let's lift them up in prayer and let's encourage them in their walk with God. I want to end our service this morning a little different. I'm going to ask Brother Joel Job if he would come to this microphone right here and lead a prayer on behalf of our young people and ask God's blessings upon them as they face the struggles of being a young person in today's world. And then I'm going to ask one of our young people, Brother Wesley Harris, if he would lead a prayer as a young person who has finished high school and is embarking upon college and who has a very fresh remembrance of how hard it is. And maybe he can encourage us too. Would you take a moment and bow as we're led in prayer by these two brothers, as we pray for our young people?
Let's bow. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for another occasion that we can come together and worship You, Father. We are thankful now for this opportunity to come before You in prayer. We know that You hear our prayers, and we know that we can come to You with both praise and concerns. Father, we come to You now specifically with our young people in mind as they have returned to school, and some of the pressures and decisions that they will be facing. Sometimes they're way out in front of them, and sometimes they're very deceptive in the way that they present themselves, both from their fellow students and sometimes their teachers. We pray that You would be with them and help them to be like Daniel and have the courage and conscience and character to overcome these things that are put before them. We pray that You would be with them and they will never forget that although their parents may not be with them throughout the day, the things which they have taught them can help them through. And if they forget those, know that You will always be there with them. And there's nothing that they can face that they have to face alone, because You will always be with them. As they begin this new year, please be with them in the decisions that they make, the friends which they come in contact with. Help them to be a shining light and help them to overcome any of the evil that comes their way. We pray that You be with their parents to help them, encourage them, and to talk with them daily about the things which they face, to help them to make decisions and help them prepare themselves for some of these things that they may face during their day. Please continue to be with them, Father, no matter what age they are, no matter what grade that they are. The changes will be different, but the devil is always out there trying to get them. Please help them to remember that You will never forget them or leave them by themselves, to always remember You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, recently coming out of high school, Father, please help everyone who are going to school. Please help them choose their friends very smartly. That's the main thing that I struggled with in high school. I was around the wrong people, and that is what the temptations, they were harder for me because I didn't wisely choose my friends. And Father, it's very important to choose those friends correctly, and that every single day that you're in school, the pressures that come on you, the temptations you're faced with, they can be harder, they can be easier, all based on those choices you make around the first weeks of school. Please help everyone to maintain the courage that they need, and please help them maintain their character, as well as keeping a good conscience towards you. Please help them remember that it's the blood of Jesus that saved them, and the covenant that they have with Jesus. Please help them maintain that relationship and not sin against Him, and try to get the strength from God to maintain their relationship with God. And please help me and all the college kids who are going to school do the same exact thing. It's all the same, because the pressures are the same. It just depends on what your choices are and how you go about living your life. And just amen.
This morning, if you're not a Christian and you need to obey the gospel by being baptized for the remission of your sins, we would encourage you to do that. The Bible says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, but you need to remember your Creator in whatever days you have. It starts in your youth, but should continue throughout your whole life. And so we sing the song, if we can help you this morning in any way and encourage you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing together.